Welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
Hey, I'm Jeremy Autry.
And we are continuing this series on having tough conversations with your kids. And
get ready. This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. I don't think we've had a episode devoted to the subject of abortion, but it is very important for us as parents to be able to communicate to our kids the view of followers of Jesus who build their lives on the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about this, because especially now more than ever, the world is very much pushing their viewpoint, which is unbiblical, on our kids.
Yeah, I recently heard about a middle schooler who didn't know what abortion was. Mm-hmm. They heard people talking at school about abortion and went to their Christian parents and said, "What even is abortion?"
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, you got this far in your parenting and never discussed abortion with your kid.
And this is tough. It's very, especially when you start getting the details of what abortion is. And that is a lot for kids to understand. But the world does not think your middle schooler is too young for them to talk about it. And they will reframe it in a way, talking about women's health. And they will try to get your middle schooler to believe their viewpoints on this. And we have to, first of all, say, because a lot of people say that abortion is a political issue, and you as a Christian or as a church need to stay away from that and not talk about it. This is political. We believe that this is a biblical issue, the value of life, as we'll talk about, and the world has made this political. So we have to start there.
If we really think about every possible issue you could bring up as a believer, that scripture is true and the foundation of truth, that we get our morality from truth, I can think of very few, if any, topics that aren't informed by biblical truth.
Right.
So there's nothing that we shouldn't be discussing and considering as Christians, the biblical principles that apply to it. And then we apply that, and then that should affect how we vote and how what our politics look like. So really, I don't think there's any, unless we're talking about who to vote for, there's no such thing as a, hey, this is just a political topic.
Right.
But especially, maybe not especially, but definitely this one.
So we as parents must first and foremost be equipped to communicate with our kids the biblical principles that come with our view of life. And so, Jeremy, I guess we really would just start with the sanctity of life. And we see this in the very beginning in Genesis 1:27, when God created male and female, and he created humanity in his own image.
Right. In this discussion, when we're talking about life, this is not, and this is an important distinction, we're not just talking about life in general. We're talking about human life. And only humans are created in the image of God. Now, I'm not saying that life of animals isn't important. There are considerations there and things that we should be aware of and biblical truths to apply, but it's not the same discussion as human life. And I am saying that the life of plants is nothing. They're plants that God put them here just for us, you know, but human life, we were created in God's image. So as we consider this discussion, some people try to bring it to that. You don't care about killing animals. You're eating meat, whatever. That if life is important to you, we're specifically talking about human life, those of us who were created in the image of God.
Right. So it, again, if we believe the Bible is God's word, we base our lives on the Bible, then it's very clear. Human beings matter more than any part of creation, and God detests the unjust killing of innocent people, also known as murder. So Genesis 9:6, in his covenant to Noah, God demands that the death penalty be carried out for murderers. Human beings are valuable because man is made in his image.
You know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, the word there, the actual original word, is the word for murder. It's the idea of unjustly killing an innocent human.
Yes. And Jesus echoes that too in Matthew 5, 21, 22. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17 lists six things that the Lord hates, including hands that shed innocent blood. This is a very, very serious thing in the eyes of God.
Again, it's important that we tie this to the idea of human life and don't get sidetracked on a different concept. And then the second consideration biblically is, when does that human life begin? When is that person a person? Psalm 139 highlights that God is involved in the very creation of life from conception.
So that says, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. This says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw me being formed and fashioned. So we've got to see that if we love God, we will love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. So if we love God, we're going to seek every means possible to protect those voiceless, vulnerable children from the horror of abortion, because we believe life begins at conception.
When we look at that text from Psalm 139, David is continually using personal pronouns. He's not saying, you saw the things that make me up. He's saying, you saw me. It was me that was formed. That's an important difference. There's a moment when the things that made me up came together, and I existed for the very first time. There is a instant when that happened. And scripture, if we look at Psalm 139 and other texts, seems to pinpoint that begins at conception, when those things came together, and now here I am.
Right. So we, as parents, need to first and foremost start with those biblical principles, the scriptures that speak about the value of life, when we talk about this with our kids. And then we as Christians should also be informed at the scientific facts that come of what actually abortion is.
Abortion is the taking of a human life. There is a human, and the life from that human, the opportunity to continue it to exist, to continue to develop, is taken away.
And so, because we believe life begins at the moment of conception, and what we see is that when you look into it scientifically, all of the baby's unique DNA was determined at fertilization.
So, just think about that for a moment. Every human that has ever existed has its own unique DNA, and that came into existence at the moment that an egg was fertilized, at the very moment, the instant of conception. I began to exist at that very moment. I didn't have the name, but Jeremy existed the moment that all of my DNA was together and unique from my mother.
So we're not, this is not a tissue, a tumor, organ, or a lifeless clump of cells. This is a unique human who was, as all of us were, at our beginning stages developing.
Yeah, and remember this. So I'm a human. The moment that all of my DNA is present and unique from my mother's, and I'm now moving through different stages, but I'm a human. There's no time that we can say, okay, now that you're in this stage, you're a human, because we never stop going through stages of development. And then after complete development, then we go through the stages of regression. You can't say, oh, this baby's not a human, but once he becomes a toddler, he will be. This toddler's not a human, but once he learns to read, he will be. This elementary age kid's not a student, but once he goes through puberty, he will be. Like, it doesn't make sense to try to pinpoint a moment when an imaginary light switch is flipped and this thing becomes human. It was a human from the very start. It didn't exist. Then the DNA came together and it did exist, and now it's moving through these stages, but it was human from the very beginning. That's the moment of creation.
Yeah. And so really what we see is the justification for abortion is for people to say that this isn't actually a person. And we'll even attempt to, you can hear a baby's heartbeat starting at 6 weeks, but they'll call those heartbeats maybe pulses. And even though they've acknowledged, some doctors have acknowledged this cardiac activity is a heartbeat, is a heartbeat, even though the heart is still developing. So we have to see and understand that argument comes down to whether that little human is a person with value and rights.
Yeah.
And so there's this Princeton philosopher, Peter Singer, for example, who supported the idea that babies, while scientifically human, are not persons. And his reasoning is this: we must treat all persons according to moral guidelines. Persons are self-aware. Infants are not self-aware and are thus not persons. So we do not need to treat them according to moral guidelines. And that's just wild to think.
You see that this line of reasoning, or lack of reasoning, would extend past birth. You would have to apply this same truth to a newborn baby. This concept would say this newborn baby is not self-aware, at least not in the same way that adults are, or even toddlers are. So it doesn't have any, no morality should be applied to that baby.
Right. And I think you see that even in some cases where babies survive abortion procedures, and you have doctors and medical people and even politicians who will state that we don't try to save this baby's life. We had a speaker last year speak at a student conference. His name is Daniel Ritchie. He was born without any arms. When he was born, and he's now an evangelist that travels all over the world, preaching the gospel, does everything with his feet. And when he came and shared his testimony, he said, "When I was born, I was struggling to breathe. And the doctor looked at my parents, looked at me. I was born without arms, looked at my parents and said, 'Do you want to, is this worth saving?'" Wow. Literally asked his parents, should we try to resuscitate him? Should we try to help him? Because look at him. He doesn't have any arms. What's his quality of life? Yeah. Is this really a person?" And thankfully, his dad said, "Yes, please try. Resuscitate him." And he's fine.
Yeah.
Born without arms. But it's crazy how people can determine the value of a life just because of their personal opinion. This life is not worth saving because, is this really a person?
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously it's a person. There's no debating that.
Right.
I had a conversation with him. You heard him speak. I saw him drink coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a person.
He has to have
a human.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just wild when you see the logic of that. It doesn't just affect abortion. It affects the way people view life. And I think it also affects, we've experienced this, affects the way doctors and medical people can comfort grieving parents who have experienced a miscarriage or a loss of a baby. Because if you're in your mind don't believe this is actually a person, then when we know, and a mother who has experienced that pain knows they're experiencing loss and a death, then you can be cold and calloused and not care and not show empathy to the mother for the loss of a life. So we understand this is a life. This is a person.
Yeah. From conception, this is a person. And the end of the ability for that person to progress through the stages of development is death.
Yes. And so we as parents, we need to be able to communicate what the Bible says about life. We need to look and research the scientific facts and what people are saying, and be able to not just swallow what we are getting from one bent, a lot of what we see in the media, but also we need to have these conversations to equip our kids with this countercultural truth. And what we mean by that is we need to understand how society is describing abortion and help our kids see that. So they will reframe abortion as Planning Parenthood, reproductive freedom, bodily autonomy, women's rights. They say it's not a baby that's being killed, it's pregnancy termination, it's the removal of just a clump of cells. We need to understand the terminology they use.
Yeah, and understand the truth and how the terminology itself is disingenuous. And there's value in discussing that as you're seeing things and your kid is coming to you because of the open communication that you are facilitating, is coming to you and saying, "Hey, this is what I've heard. and it seems logical to me, can we talk through this? Then you can say, look, they're using this term. And is this term line up with what we know to be true?
Right, right. So we need to be able to discuss how society promotes abortion as a right or necessity, but encourage our kids to be grounded in the Word of God. And by the way, the same arguments that tried to diminish personhood of an unborn baby is the same arguments of how people during the slavery era tried to explain that, oh, these slaves are not actual human beings. And that's the same mentality is you can do, if you are convinced in your mind this is not really a person, then that justifies you and excuses you from having any moral conscience or guilt. And it's that same.
And, I mean, there's been tons of atrocities that have used that same line of reasoning. These yep. aren't people. And I've never even considered it in that light, but it's ridiculous. And that also bears out an important truth. We in ourselves know that if something is a person, that it deserves respect and life and even protection. And we have a certain responsibility
right.
on this planet to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, scripture says we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And a person who doesn't believe scripture wouldn't necessarily embrace to that depth. But there's something in there that says if it is human, it does deserve to be cared for.
Yeah.
You know, so they try to strip something they don't want to care for, someone they don't want to care for. They try to strip it of its humanity, but it's human. It's made in God's image the moment all of that unique DNA comes together.
I mean, think about just even recently we had that the tragedy in New Orleans on New Year's Day when that person got in his truck and murdered multiple people just driving through the streets of people. And there was this big college football game scheduled in New Orleans that day. And what did they do? With the seriousness of life being lost and the potential for more life to be lost, we're going to stop this game. We're not going to have it today. We're going to see this as because life is so important, we're going to lose millions of dollars because we have to rearrange things because life is that important. Society will do that when they acknowledge this is life.
Yeah.
They'll realize the seriousness of it. So at the same time, we want to equip our kids with countercultural truth. We also want to model biblical empathy and teach our kids to have that same empathy. Now, to define empathy, that is helping to see the situation from others' perspective, we do have to understand true biblical empathy without being manipulated.
Right.
So Allie Beth Stuckey wrote a book called Toxic Empathy in our pastor just recommended recently, and she talks about a lot of these subjects that Christians can be manipulated with the argument of being loving and being empathetic towards others, where they can actually be manipulated into affirming what is sinful or waffling on what is true. And so we have to understand that while being empathetic, while showing love.
Yeah, and we have to show love. Like, as a Christian, we are called to show love to people who have sinned at all, people who have sinned against us, people who are sinners. Love was shown to us when we were sinners. This is the definition of the gospel. God knew that we were sinners, and he sent his son to die in our place. Jesus knew all of the sins I would commit when he died for me on the cross, and he loved me enough to do that without saying my sin was okay. In fact, the opposite, saying that my sin was bad and horrible, and at the same time loving me in spite of my sin. This is what Christianity is supposed to look like. So as we discuss this with a lost world, as we discuss this with people who have had abortions, as we discuss this with people who believe that abortions are right, there has to be this level of respect and love and being able to have a conversation without attacking someone.
Yeah. And so we need to consider not just the situation, we do need to consider the situation from the mother's perspective, but we also want to consider the situation from the unborn baby's perspective. And so this biblical empathy is rooted in love and truth, which means it's showing compassion without affirming sin. It's speaking the truth lovingly, even when it's difficult. It's encouraging people to repent and be in line with God's word.
And you know, our churches should be a place
where a person who has made this mistake could be loved even if that mistake is unveiled.
Yeah.
And our conversation should be a place where a person who, even if they made that mistake, could be loved even if that mistake is unveiled. And our kids need to be people who can love other people who have committed sin.
Right.
You know, and we are, as we're discussing that, the reminding them that the people who are committing this and the people who believe this are humans made in God's image, mm-hmm. and they deserve to be loved and respected. We can model that and remind them of that.
Yeah. And so this can kind of be paired along with us. We were going to mention this later, but in our conversations, we need to highlight forgiveness and redemption. So we need to emphasize that God offers forgiveness and healing to anyone who has had an abortion. 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. So, and it's good to share stories of individuals who have found redemption and peace after making a decision like this. Like, it is important to see and communicate the power of God's grace. But at the same time, true empathy does seek the good of others, and it points them to Christ and the power of his redemption and his grace and his work on the cross. And that may require difficult conversation. So empathy is important, empathy across the board, yeah. But that's rooted in love and truth. And that empathy is going to also highlight forgiveness and redemption that can only be found in Christ.
Because empathy that falls short of caring enough about a person to explain to them who God is and his willingness to forgive them and adopt him into their family, that's not real empathy. That's not real love. You don't really care about a person if you're not concerned about their soul. That's you maybe wanting to keep things comfortable, but that is not you really loving that person. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not telling you that every debate, not every conversation you have with someone who believes different than you has to just be a flat out gospel invitation. But if your first and foremost concern isn't for their eternal soul, you don't really love that person. You know, that's not real empathy.
Yeah. So then another way, just important thing to keep in mind when we're having these conversations is to use age appropriate language. Jeremy, what would you say about that?
And you need to know your kid. And you need to tailor your conversation to your kid's level of understanding. You can have a conversation with a young child about abortion without explaining to them all that goes into a woman becoming pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know who's listening to this, so I'm even trying to choose my words carefully as we're talking. You can discuss the fact that there's a real baby alive inside of a mother's womb, and that baby being killed is murder, without having to teach on other things that you're not ready to teach on, that your kid's not ready to learn about. And language is super important. And using words that are understood or defining words as you use them is important.
Yes.
At the same time, you don't talk to a high school student as if they don't already know these things. You know, you can use other words that you wouldn't have used with your elementary age student with these high school students and not talk down to them and get into deeper levels. Remember, our high schoolers are learning foreign languages and understanding complex math, and there's all this crazy stuff that they're embracing. They're ready to talk about when personhood begins and when human life begins and what that looks like, and discussing these logical arguments and understanding the other side of, you know, the other side of the issues, and your kids are ready for that.
Yeah.
And someone else is taking those steps with them if you're not.
Yeah. And I think as your kids get older, it should be very much clarified. Hey, this is what actually happens in an abortion procedure. We need to be aware of that because no one wants to think about it. And it is very, I mean, it's tragic what happens and the way a baby's life is ended in the womb through an abortion procedure. But I'll never forget, I went to a Christian school, and I remember my science teacher making sure that was something we were aware of, and getting very specific and telling us this is what actually happens. And I think as our kids get older, we owe it to them for them to be aware of the seriousness. Just as our kids get older and they're learning more and more about history. I mean, I remember learning about the what actually happened during the Holocaust in sixth grade and seeing pictures of concentration camps. And that was important to see, as hard and tough as it is. We can't completely close our kids off from the reality of sin and evil and destruction and keep that from them the rest of their lives. So as they get older, as we know our kids in age-appropriate ways, making them aware of that. So then our last two things are kind of really can be connected is in our conversations, we should discuss ways we can support, maybe through actions, volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center, advocating for adoption, or supporting mothers in need. And so we can look and see ways we as a church or as families can help support those who are struggling in this area.
There's a way for Christians to be salt and light in this realm, in this arena. And it's not attacking people. It's not cussing at people. It's not just being mean.
Right.
You know, there's a way for us to actually love and bring light and healing into these situations. Yeah. And we need to model that for our kids.
My in-laws are part of this organization in Virginia called Embrace Grace. And it's an organization that they do pray outside of abortion clinics. But at the same time, they have start ministries up in their church of, hey, if there's a single mom who's in need, who chooses life, they look to have a baby shower for her and look to provide her with things. I remember when we took a missions trip of students to Washington, D.C., and one of the things we did was we worked with the Capitol Hill Pregnancy Center. And this pregnancy center was on national news of being like having protesters outside, of having people just vandalize the building, especially after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And sitting down with the director, her name's Janet Durg, and she had been interviewed by Fox News and multiple news organizations. And one of the things she would want to get people to see is, because so much in our media and society was wanting to paint these pregnancy centers as bad and evil, and she would step out to these protesters, these pro-abortion protesters, and say, hey, why don't you just come in and actually see what we do? And one of the things, and what we did is just, we just went through their inventory of their diaper donations in there, and their, all the things that they give mothers. They give them vitamins, they give them help and counsel, they help them apply for Medicaid, they help them get the resources they need, and being able to see there are Christians stepping up. A lot of times people will point and say, well, Christians who are against abortion, they don't really love, they're not supporting. And yes, there's so many organizations all across our country that are there to help, equip, and love the mother. So it's important for us to be aware of those, set the example as parents in ways we can show our children how to live out our pro-life viewpoints in all areas of life, particularly with our actions.
Yeah, think about this truth. The underlying fact is a baby is a human created in God's image from conception. And all humans, because they are created in God's image and valued by God, deserve to be protected, loved, cared for. And the Bible says we love our neighbors as ourselves. If that's the underlying truth that we're teaching our kids, then we have to apply it to every area of life. Mm-hmm. The people who don't look like us, the people who don't live where we live, the people who don't believe like us, the people who are elderly, the people who are marginalized, whatever the situation, all of them have value and deserve to be protected and helped and loved. And we have to apply that whole truth, not just get angry about abortion, but then just live our lives in all mm-hmm. these other areas.
That's true. And so the whole point of this is, we need to start having these tough conversations with our kids. It doesn't always have to be in this formal sit-down environment, but just begin to have these conversations in an age-appropriate way. And the hope is, and the prayer is, that our influence, our witness will help our kids to be able to think biblically on things that the world has a totally different viewpoint that is not grounded in God's word.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Peace out.